The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Appreciate you waking up with the Bill Myers Show. 15 minutes after 8, 106.3, of course, 106.3 HD1, 106.7, also in 105.9. You're listening in Grants Pass. And, of course, during my show, 99.3 KBXG, the Jukebox, also airs my morning show. So we're everywhere, including KMED.com. Just hit listen live and off you go. Captain Bill Simpson, friend of the program, great to have you back on here, Captain Bill. And you've been keeping an eye, of course, on wild horses and fuel load and what they've been doing at the dam. I don't think you ever – do you ever sleep? It's kind of curious.
Good morning. Well, once in a while I'm able to. Yeah, I try to.
All right. Well, how is life over on the Wild Horse Ranch up in Northern Cal for you? Is it going okay at the moment?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's a beautiful place to live. We're fortunate to live here in the far north of California and Southern Oregon. We have many blessings, but we need to be careful because the government doesn't seem to care much about what we have or what we like. And we're looking at lots of things down here. We're looking at the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument has an proposed draft, updated resource management plan.
Yeah, and what is the basics of that resource management plan? What's a good takeaway? Because that's open for comment right now, is it not?
Yeah, so July 5th. And basically, when they formed the monument back in 2000, when Clinton signed that in, they had a plan for that property. I mean, it's public land, and they sold it to us about, you know, it's going to be beautiful and recreation. You can drive up there and breathe deeply of the mountain air and see all the critters. Well, you know, not too long thereafter, you know, I think it was 2016. They didn't do anything they promised to do in the plan. I mean, there's garbage everywhere up there from the legacy ranches and barbed wire, and it's a mess still. They haven't done nothing. They haven't done any, you know, since 1945, they've done some fuel mitigation work, and they're talking about not repetitive, but, you know, here and there.
All right, so you do some fuel mitigation once upon a time over 80 years, right? Almost 80 years. It's not exactly like the fuel mitigation lasts, right? It's like a season, and then the weeds come back, and everything else starts growing again. Is that the case?
Right. Yeah, it's an ongoing thing. It's just like mowing your lawn. You got to do it every, you know, prescribed burning, which is a stupid thing to do. You got to do that every 2-3 years. But anyway, the point is that they want to eliminate all the grazing on our historic land here at the Horseshoe Ranch Wildlife Area. I mean, that's been grazed time immemorial by the horses. And then in the, you know, starting about the 1850s, there started to be some cattle and sheep in there and on the south end of the monument here on the south grade of the mountain on the Oregon side. And that really did make a difference on that big fire we had, the Klamathon fire. The grazing in that area saved the riparian area. I just did a survey in there on the 18th. We went in there with some of our Cal State University researchers that are here right now. We went in there and we did a video photographic survey of the area. It's loaded with grass. Even with the horses and the few cows that have been up there, it's just choked. I mean, it is choked. And so what do they want to do, their big idea? Let's get rid of the little bit of fire grazing we've got. Let's just get it all out of there.
Yeah. Let's get rid of even more of nature's lawnmowers, essentially.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's the opposite. At a time when we need more grazing than ever, what do they want to do? They want to eliminate it. I mean, these people need to be fired.
Yeah, my question is, do these individuals, do these scientists or the people that are running these federal agencies and people in control of the monument area, do they honestly think that just having the monument there with no kind of treatment, no kind of grazing, certainly no logging or no removal of vegetation and everything like that, do they honestly think that that it is immune from a lightning strike and various other things to just set the whole thing ablaze at some point? I mean, where are they coming from on this?
I wouldn't give them the courtesy of calling them scientists, number one, Bill. I think that was like way too generous of you. I think they're just administrators. You know, I mean, I took Elizabeth Burghardt and Lauren Brown, who runs the monument, Elizabeth being the district manager for the BLM. I took them on a nature hike up there and showed them things they never even seen before. They managed it. They'd never seen it. And I showed them a lightning struck snag and how it burned furiously. And then when it got to the ground level, the fire didn't spread to the other fuels because the ladder fuels on the ground, the grass and brush, had been mitigated by the horses. They saw it, they understand it, and then they hand us this, you know, piece of dung that they're calling an upgrade on the monument management plan, which is ridiculous. I mean, this has to be dealt with. Now, I'm going to change gears on you here. I want to talk about the dam removal thing.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I know we weren't really going to be talking about the mitigation and stuff, but I know that that's always your passion up there, and trying to get you know, animals on the landscape, whether it's wild horses and various other, you know, the other, what do you call them? Are they cervids, or what do you call them?
Yeah, deer, elk. Yeah, that's the cervidae. That's the class of animals.
Yeah, you get them on the landscape, and you mow down a lot of this tough grass, because you can't hire enough prescribed burners and people out there with weed whackers to take care of what needs done.
And now we know from the UCLA study that from 2008 to 2018, about 55,000 people were killed from the smoke. So that's a UCLA study that just came out, and they looked at also the economic damage from losing 55,000 people from smoke toxicity. That the economic damage was for about $435 billion.
I know. And didn't your – now, I remember your spouse, your late spouse, died from the wildfire smoke, did she not, if I recall?
Yeah, I went through all of that. I interviewed practically every scientist, and I'm not kidding you, on the planet. I talked to Sean Pittock, who's the world's leading autoimmune neurologist. He's an expert on smoke-induced, and also Dr. Michelle Block at Indiana Medical University, who studies smoke-impacted firefighters and Gulf War veterans. And they both said the same thing. The science is starting to catch up with what you are, you know, and they acknowledge the bill, you get it. There's things going on with this smoke because it's so hot, we're getting brand new chemicals formed. And so it's just, you know, combustion chemistry changes with the amount of heat. And because we have prodigious fuel, collapsed herbivory, we're getting brand new things being formed. I mean, we're seeing metals sublimating right out of the soil.
Oh, boy. Metals going into the fire smoke. That's great.
Sure.
Said no one ever. But the point being, though, is that this whole concept that we're just going to burn and burn and burn our way to prosperity around here and health is not sensible. And it really is an attack on we the people. And so when we contribute, I need to get a comment in there on this resource management plan. And the deadline you said is July 5th. And what would you suggest as a meaningful comment, maybe just the basic stuff here before, and then we'll go to the dam removal story.
Right.
Okay?
I think what we need to impress upon these people, first of all, I just sent a big pictorial video study. We went in, like I said, we went in and we spent hours and hours. We hiked all over the place. We probably hiked 10 miles into the horseshoe and filmed all the grass loading. I mean, there's areas in there, grass is up to your waist. And it's everywhere in there. And we found one little band of horses, one little family, and you can't even see any impact. The water in the riparian area is crystal clear. The riparian area is green as an emerald. I mean, it's just vibrant. And it's so nice. That's the only reason it's so nice is because when that fire went through there, because of the reduced fuels. And I documented that on Tuesday with a video where the big conifers survived because of lower fuel loads, mm-hmm. where the horses had grazed along the horse trail. And that's in a video. I just sent it to Elizabeth Burghardt at the monument. It went to Jackson County Board of Supervisors. It went to Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. The photographs and the videos of the students and me out there doing the research that nobody else wants to pay for, we did it. On our dime, Cal State, thank you, helped us out here. You know, we're lucky we have people that really love our environment.
Yeah.
They're willing to put in the time to do it. And we're not out there just making stuff up. This is real stuff we filmed. It's the real thing, the situation on the ground, no BS.
Well, I'll definitely direct people to what you've written on this, okay? Hey, I'm a little short on time, so I don't want to make sure and forget the star of the show this morning. And this is an article that you have up on Siskiyou.news. The old historic Klamath River Road, is it still a public right-of-way? And I would venture a guess that in the dam removal area, people completely forgot about this road. Could you break it down for us here?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. That is a long-standing historic road. It got used back in the late 1700s when the settlers and the explorers and the Native Americans used that road to go up and down that side of the river. And then later it became a wagon train road, you know, coming down from Klamath Falls and the logging camps up there into Hornbrook and Wairika. And then it became a county road. And then it was, you know, of course, paved. And you could see the cement abutments that got put in. So it's been used time immemorial. And there's layers. From what I talked to my source, who looked into some of the county records and found that the county never relinquished its right-of-way. And under the law, when you have a county right-of-way, they have to there's a document, they have to relinquish their rights.
You have to do it actively. You can't just let it go.
Yeah.
All right.
So superficially, looking through what we could find quickly, it doesn't seem like the county ever relinquished. But underneath that, though, there's other layers of public access rights and public dedication rights on that road. So what I'm saying to the community is, okay, fine. I mean, this road, when you look at it, you could probably drive your car on. I mean, it's still in good shape.
So it was uncovered. It was uncovered once the water went down, right?
Right. Yeah. And I'm looking at this road, and I'm going, well, hold it. This could be an outstanding opportunity to make up for the loss of the lakes. This could be a great recreational piece of road for hiking and biking right along the river. And here's the thing, Bill. That canyon there, this canyon, Iron Gate Canyon, has the most amazing rock formations that have been underwater for the last 70 years. I mean, it's spectacular. And when you're down in there, you can see this stuff. It's our own little Grand Canyon. And we'd be crazy not to take advantage of this road for tourism.
Now, my question being, though, is that this is probably not something that gangrene would be happy with. Because generally speaking, if there's anything that's really nice, they want it taken away from people's access. Would that be fair to say? Usually,
well,
is what happens.
Probably, yeah. They live in the city in a cubicle, and they don't like the fact that we're out here, you know. And it's not easy to live out here, but we're out here enjoying it. And I don't know. I think there's some sort of like animosity or envy, even. I don't know. But yeah, they seem to want to destroy what is beautiful. And we all live on the river. We know what's going on here. Nobody can fool us. You know, we don't do a snapshot visit once a year and then go, oh, you know, here's what the status is.
Yeah, and then go back to your Intel Cube farm up in Portland.
We're here all day. Yeah, we're here all day every day, and we know exactly what's going on. But, I don't know if they'd be happy or not. It seems like they would. I mean, if they're so proud of what they've done there, why not let people walk along the river and on that access? And it doesn't matter if California Department of Fish and Wildlife is getting the land and they're going to give it to one of the tribes. The thing about a road is it's a public access. We have lots of roads going through reservations.
Yeah, it's a public right. The question being, it's a public right-of-way. And I think it needs to remain a public right-of-way, even if most of the land has been given to tribal interests there.
I agree. I think it needs to be a hiking, biking trail for families to enjoy the canyon and the river. And give us back a little bit of what we lost in the way of the lakes and our tourism. I mean, we lost the economic impact and of course, the firefighting impact of losing those lakes is tremendous. And this is a small token situation. And I think we have a right to get it back. I don't think we need to beg on bent knee. I think we have a right to get this road back for public access.
Well, there is peace within the law, so I guess it's time to start working on the law and dig more into this. Now, is it on the California side or the Oregon side there? I'm sorry I didn't look that up.
Well, we're in Siskiyou County, and this road along the – it's between the river and the existing Copco Road.
Got it.
And it's in the map.
Okay.
In the story, you'll see the map of the old road, and that's the road. And I have a little square box around the area that I photographed so you can see – the actual road.
I see it now. Yeah, I'm looking at the article.
See the little box?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We found an old map from 1920, I think it was. And lo and behold, there's the river road. and then you look at that photograph I took and you go, well, that's the same exact road. Boom, there it is. Look at it.
All right.
And
well, we got to stay on this story because this is, you know, like I said, there is so much bad that happened out of this dam removal, but maybe a little bit of a green shoot out of this. The only other question I have for you about this before we take off, because I'm out of time here, Bill, but I wanted to make sure that people knew about this. I want them to go read your article. But when they drained the Klamath Dam, with the Iron Gate Dam, did they find any of those missing bump stocks that were banned by the last administration? I'm just kind of curious if there were bump stocks that got lost in the fishing accidents, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I just had to ask. Okay, just had to ask.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though, there is an incredible amount of beauty in this canyon, these rock formations. I mean, when I started looking at the rock formations here, every day I see new ones. I mean, it's just, it's an amazing area.
All right. Well, Bill, I appreciate the update. I'm going to share your news article today. And thanks for keeping us in the loop. We'll talk to you again soon. All right? You be well.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Captain William E. Simpson. It is 8:31.
Whether you need a weathertight garage for your vehicles and toys, a functional workshop, an ideal barn for your horses, or an oversized covered riding arena, Johnson Builders has you covered. Choose from a variety of maintenance-free colors, warranted steel panel roofing and siding options, plus alternative finishes like stone, brick, or wood siding to match your aesthetic and functional requirements. Roofing material options too. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
This is Insurance Agent A.
Hey.
He sells for one company only.
It's the absolute best.
To my right, an exemplary insurance agent, an independent, which means...
I can help you research multiple insurance plans, giving you a much better look at who actually has the better coverage.
Well, that's not fair.
That's not what our customers say.
Well, I can't compete with that.
Home, auto, health, life. Sky Park Insurance is your local independent agency that shops for the best coverage for less. Steve makes insurance easy.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy. So if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
We've heard it all.
That ditch was way too close to the road.
You know, fifth wheel trailers, man, they are terrible on tailgates.
Next time I see a yield sign, I'm just going to stop.
Better gauge the wind speed before you open the car door.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
KMED wants to take you on a Hellgate jet boat excursion with two ways to win. Listen to Bill Meyer weekday mornings from 6 to 9. You can also enter on the KMED website at KMED.com. Either way, KMED is going to send you upriver.
Downriver?
Actually, you will head down and upriver on all Hellgate jet boat excursions. Win your tickets with Bill Meyer weekday mornings 6 to 9. Also enter online at KMED.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Hellgate jet boat excursions with KMED.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
The Bill Meyer Show is on 106.3 KMED.
I am so looking forward to this this Brit Show coming up Sunday, June 30th, a week from Sunday. It's Colin Mochrie, Brad Sherwood. Of course, we know them from the amazing television show, which I would watch them and just go, how do they manage to do this, especially live without a net? But no scripts, no problem. It's Asking for Trouble, the Asking for Trouble comedy tour here coming to Brit, and it's just going to be a great show. Colin, on that note, welcome. It's great to have you on, sir. Good morning.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, Colin, I've always wanted to ask you, when it comes to doing comedy, you know, like you do, does it help to have an interesting appearance in some ways in which, you know, I'm just kind of wondering, you know, when you go on stage, are you almost primed? Do you prime people to laugh sometimes with even you and Brad and your own physical appearance out there. I'm just kind of wondering how deep that goes in your kind of comedy.
Well, the incredible sexiness we have actually goes against the humor that we're going for.
See?
So we have to ugly ourselves down. You know, they're pretty much primed. They know the show, so they have an idea of what's going to happen in a sense. So they are primed. They are ready to go.
And it's improvisation, which means that, I mean, essentially every single show is individual. You're not like a traditional or another type of stand-up show, right, in which you have the act and you do the same act city after city, right? This is very different in that respect.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Every show is our opening and closing. No one will ever see that particular show again because of the different suggestions, because of how we are that night. So it, unlike, you know, rock bands who have to do their greatest hits night after night, we get to do a brand new show. And I think that's part of the reason we've been doing, able to stay together for 22 years without killing each other.
Yeah, 22 years. I mean, this essentially is a comedy marriage then. And do you ever fight?
We're pretty good. We're different in many ways. Brad is a details guy. He looks, you know, he's a little OCD, which is great for me because he takes care of the little things in the tour that I would never think of. And I'm just there to make sure he doesn't have a stroke.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad that you're a good partner for him then. Colin Mochrie with me once again. And his, of course, the Brit performance is going to be a week from Sunday, the 30th, and tickets still available at that. Very reasonable. And I think the other, this is something I also wanted to ask you. Did you ever suffer, did you and Brad ever suffer during the time in which there seemed like that everybody was working really hard to cancel anybody that was trying to make somebody laugh that could have any bit of insensitivity, you know, to the comedy? Did you ever have any trouble like that?
We're pretty lucky in a way because our stuff is just goofy. So it's rare we'll come up with anything that will offend people. The only thing that could have caused problems is at the beginning of the show, we say we're not going to take anything political. There'll be no political suggestions because that's really, that divides the audience almost immediately.
God bless you.
You know, there's people out there who do political humor and do it well. And I really think it's something that's more, it's better when somebody has worked on it and honed it rather than off the cuff stuff.
Yeah. This is, I just want to say bless you because I do political talk all the time. And I just want to go to a show and laugh. I just want to find something to laugh about. I think you're actually kind of like America's doctor. We should call you America's doctor at this point. You're giving us kind of what we need these days, you and Brad.
Yeah, when you see us, like, you know, walking across the stage like a chicken on a porpoise, you think, no, your politics doesn't enter into it at all.
Yeah, that's good to know. This also means that your show would be family friendly, so you could have youngsters go with adults to this with no problem, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it never gets any worse than a Whose Line episode, which, granted, at times got up to the line. But we're very aware of our demographic. Our audiences are always made up from, you know, everything from a 9-year-old to a 90-year-old. So, yeah, we're pretty good.
So you've been doing this 22 years here, Colin, and you talk about how you key off the audience. In all those 22 years, did you ever have a town that didn't get you, that didn't get it, and you're kind of like, oh boy, like we're having trouble. I don't know how they could, but you just never know. You could be talking beer jokes in Utah. Maybe that didn't go over, or I don't know. But what do you think?
Yeah, we've been pretty fortunate in our theater shows. I would say some corporate. We had one person afterwards. The crew guy came up afterwards and said there was someone out there saying it's like they just made it up as they were going along. And I thought, obviously they didn't understand the concept of what we were doing. Yeah. So, I would say corporates, we've had that problem, but never during a theater show.
Yeah, we paid these people, and they just made it up. They weren't even prepared. Gosh, you're not really getting it, are you, buddy? All right. Colin, I'm kind of curious, you know, like I said, we know about the last 20 years or so with you and Brad, your comic partner here. What was it like for you growing up? Was this a talent you always had for physical comedy and humor, or is it something that sort of developed? And maybe another question you can answer me, were you the baby of the family, always wanting to show off, or something else? Tell me a little bit about that.
I was the oldest. I was the quiet, studious one. And
really?
You know, improv was not a thing when I was growing up. Nobody knew what that was. Jonathan Winters was probably the only practitioner as I was growing up, and then Robin Williams came later. But, you know, I totally lucked out when Whose Line came along and sort of gave the showcase to improv and sort of got it into the public consciousness. But I was always a fan of comedy. When I was in theater school, that was what I was drawn to, was comedic parts. I felt very comfortable with that. And, yeah, I was a fan of, you know, silent comedians, everyone from, you know, Chaplin and Keaton to Bob Hope to Dick Van Dyke, Don Knotts. Anyone who made me laugh, I would study them and try to figure out how I could steal that.
Having done it in your world for so many years, is comedy harder than drama? I think it would be, but I wouldn't know for sure, never having done either.
I'm going to say yes, only because a sense of humor is so personal. I mean, everybody is moved and cries by the same thing, whether it, you know, a death in the family or a loss of a loved one, a relationship breaking up. But trying to get an audience to laugh at the exact same joke, it's tough. It's a little harder.
How many more years do you think you'll keep doing this? Or is there an expiration date on improv?
As long as my hips hold out and people come, I'm guessing. I mean, I just turned 66. I thought, maybe it's time to pull back. But then I'm booked into the middle of next year. So I still love doing it, as well as, you know, touring with Brad. I also have another show where I tour with a hypnotist, where he hypnotizes audience members and I improvise with him. I'm also doing, you know, some TV stuff and movie stuff. So as long as people, you know, want me to work, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to know that because, like I said, I never turn down the opportunity to either watch a show that you do, or I'm certainly not going to turn down the opportunity to see you a week from Sunday. And I know a lot of other folks here in Southern Oregon are going to put aside political problems for an evening, bring the family. And it's Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood from TV's Whose Line Is It Anyway? And as it says in the BritFest situation here, two legends, no script, no problems. And admit it, you talked about being the eldest of the family. That struck me really odd. I never would have thought, I would have figured you would have been like the show off, the baby. And that surprises me a lot about this.
But,
yeah. Is it a matter of the studios?
Oldest,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What were you going to say there, Colin?
I wasn't a class clown. I went against all the norms.
Yeah. But I guess, though, being firstborn, studious, intelligent, you observe then, right? Is that part of the comedy and improv, being able to observe and react to that smartly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was a very shy kid, still am shy, though I've had to learn to deal with it through, you know, success of Whose Line. But yeah, I was always an observer. I loved to listen to people talk. I loved to hear their stories. And I would sort of store it and use it later.
Yeah. What was the weirdest request you probably ever had on the road, since you feed off of the people feeding you suggestions on what to do on these shows, asking for trouble?
Yeah, I mean, the most work we do on this show is trying to figure out a way to ask for suggestions so we get something that is different, like totally different, and where the audience actually has to work a little bit and use their imagination. And once we asked for an occupation, and we got the person who answers the phone when you're stuck in an elevator. And I thought, okay, we've never had that. Let's see how this goes. And it turned out to be a lot of fun. We love when we get suggestions where we're, you know, put back in our heels a little bit, because we find out that's when usually the magic happens, and it's where we have the most fun.
Yeah, the ones that are the most challenging. Colin, it's great to get a chance to meet you here for a few minutes, and looking forward to seeing you a week from Sunday. And we're so proud to be able to spread the word about this show, and it's a It's a must-see, okay? Asking for Trouble, Colin Mochrie, Brad Sherwood, BritFest.org. Get your tickets today. Thanks so much, Colin. Be well.
Thanks, Bill.
And stay funny. News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Oregon Medical Board is considering disciplining doctors for using microaggressions and to make reporting them mandatory for all doctors. Under the new ethics rule from the Oregon Medical Board, unprofessional conduct will include microaggressions under the new Section J that ranks them along with fraud, sexual assault, and ordering unnecessary or harmful surgeries. Microaggressions include phrases like melting pot and pulling oneself up by your own bootstraps, which some consider racist. Starting next year, Oregon will be a part of the IRS Direct File program, allowing people to file their income tax forms online for free.
With Direct File, Oregonians are finally going to have the opportunity to file directly with the IRS for free.
Oregon Senator Ron Wyden says it'll only be available for basic returns. With warm weather across the area, the Grants Pass City Fire Marshal has now increased the fire danger level in the city to moderate today. Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has failed to qualify for next week's debate in Atlanta. Host network CNN said the independent presidential candidate fell short of benchmarks, both for state ballot qualification and polling. That means it'll be a one-on-one rematch between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. The Supreme Court has upheld tax on foreign income over a challenge backed by business and anti-regulatory interests. Justices left in place a provision of a 2017 tax law that's expected to generate some $340 billion. Rain is falling in New Mexico. That's where fire crews have been battling a wildfire. Authorities say those blazes have killed at least two people and damaged more than 1,400 structures. Millions of Americans are under excessive heat alerts again today as the heat wave rolls on. This is SRN News.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
The Rogue Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op. And remember, use the right tool for the job.
The Dirt Devil has a little plastic spout that folds down, and it'll go right into blossoms and get the bugs without damaging the blossoms.
I know they're not so high-powered because every time I try to use one on my truck's upholstery, it never gets any dirt out. But I bet it would get a bug.
It gets bugs. It's a real handy tool.
Catch the Rogue Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning Encore at 9 on KMED.
One of each Forte VIN 785766, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 237299, MSRP 22140, 3500, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance, and 63024.
Thinking about a new ride? It's time to trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford during the Summer Sticker Sales Event. Hurry in to get more cash for your trade-in. Then trade up and save on our huge Kia selection, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Trade in. Trade up and save at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Conspiracy Theory Thursday, and there is a few minutes left for some open phone topic if you wanted to jump in. Probably about 5 or 6 minutes, so if you have something you'd like to weigh in on, now's a pretty good time. 770-5633, 770-KMED. By the way, my email is bill@billmyersshow.com. By the way, One question that I forgot to ask Colin Mockery, rather, when he was on just a few minutes ago, and I talked to him off air right before he had to go on to his next talk, and I said, "Do people ever come up to you and do they do the whole thing about be funny? Do they do this to you?" And he says, "All the time, they get this. People just come up to me and say, be funny." And he says, "I'm sorry that I have to disappoint them every time." I start laughing about this. Unless you're going to end up doing some sort of improv with, you know, when you're talking about an improvisational comic that, you know, it's an interaction sort of thing. It's how, that's the act that they bring to Brit Show, Brit Fest, rather, and a lot of fun. And the reason I brought this up is that back in my younger days, in my early days of being a disc jockey, and I was telling Scuba Steve about this. He's our promotion guy and also afternoons on 103.5 Cool FM. And when I was a young DJ, I always got it from people on the street. "Hey, could you talk like a DJ? Bill, talk like a DJ." "Well, okay. Can I talk like a DJ? Is this what you mean when I talk like a DJ?" He gets the same sort of thing. Kind of funny this way, but he says, "Yeah, and I disappoint them every time because I just can't be funny. It's a part of a process, I guess, really." 770-5633. It is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, so that's a dangerous time for me, and I have a little coffee courage in me, so we'll hit it. Hello, line one. Who's this? Good morning. Hello.
Hey, Bill, it's Lucretia.
Oh, Lucretia, I should have known it was you. Conspiracy Theory Thursday. What's on your mind, darling?
Oh, between the chemtrails guys that putting out all this aluminum barium going in, causing our fires to burn hotter and cause wasting disease.
Oh, no. There's no hope. There's no hope for humanity then, right?
Yes. They know that the aluminum, you inject it into animals, and they sit around like with Alzheimer's. They can't even think. They don't even think about eating. They're just like getting skinny and like bones and causes wasting disease. But
now, are you trying to tell me that it was chemtrails that killed my cat Chester?
No, he was an outdoor cat. Wasn't eating grass like the deer and the horses.
No, he wasn't outdoor. He wasn't eating outdoors, but he ate everything else, like plastic. That's probably what it is. BPA got him, right?
Dr. Klinghart said that it was so bad in some countries that they have to import hay because the animals can't get the food. They're just wasting away because of all the aluminum in the soil.
Well, where did you want to go today? Because we're not going to solve that problem. What do you think?
Okay. I wanted to talk about some amazing information I'm learning about melatonin. This guy, Dr. Reitan, R-E-I-T-E-N-T-I-N, Reitan, something like that. Mm-hmm. Dr. Schallenberger and Dr. Klinghart and everybody, it's like this melatonin, it reduces the risk of death from cancer by 44%. It gets rid of type 1 diabetes. It's incredible for sleep. You can not have to take all your leave. You know, it's like it's incredible anti-inflammatory. People need to look it up.
And by the way, I've been a big fan of melatonin supplementation. And I first started doing that during COVID because the FLCCC.net doctors, you know, America's frontline doctors, they were talking about melatonin on a daily basis as an anti-inflammatory aspect to try to keep that down. But it is also helpful for sleep, for sure. You bet.
They're taking 200 milligrams, and you can't overdose. There's no side effect. If you go off of it, it doesn't affect your hormones.
Wait a minute. They're taking 200 milligram doses of melatonin? I mean, the pill I have is like 5.
Yeah, no, you want to get up and you want to get the higher amounts. I mean, they gave rats 300 milligrams for 2 years and there's no side effects.
I mean, I was thinking that with 300 milligrams, they probably sleep for a week out of that.
No, you just sleep really well. You don't have the pain. You wake up feeling great. You have deep sleep. I mean, one guy, because, you know, he had terrible mold problems that caused him to really, you know, lose his brain and this and that. The other thing is the incredible, again, Dr. Schallenberger said that the high-dose melatonin with L-cysteine prevent Parkinson's. Another one that's really powerful is the nicotine. Dr. Artis talks about that.
Nicotine was known to have a effect on stopping or preventing Parkinson's. And so even though smoking's not good for you, they are thinking that smoking itself, the nicotine, may have actually helped. Hey,
and cutting brain, the worst of the type of brain cancer is glioblastoma. It cuts it in 3 days. It's in half the size.
All right. Send me some of that research. All right. I like to read some of that, Lucretia, especially with the 200 milligram melatonin, because I'm looking at other people saying you don't want to go that high. But I always appreciate the input. All right. Thanks for the call. I probably have time for maybe one, maybe two calls. We'll see. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning, Bill. It's Gino.
Gino, how you doing at Ashland? What's happening, huh?
Well, I had the occasion to go away for the weekend, and I found that as soon as I left the Valley, I stopped telling people that I was from Ashland because they would always look at me askance if I said something like that. So I just took them as myself. Anyway, what I would like to share with you is the true meaning of the 4th of July and Declaration of Independence as quoted by Thomas Jefferson. It'll take me a second here. May it, the Declaration of Independence, be to the world a signal of arousing men to burst their chains and to assume the blessings and security of self-government. Here comes the kicker. All eyes are open to the truth that the mass of mankind has not been born with saddles on their backs, nor a favored few booted and spurred, ready to ride them legitimately by the grace of God. Let our annual return to this day refresh our recollections and inspire our devotion to these rights. So the Declaration of Independence was a thought crime. It was also considered blasphemy. He's the king ordained of God. To
That's
divide
right.
him is to divide God and the state.
So it was always assumed that there are people that if you want to call it the divine right of kings or whatever it is, that we're obviously here to rule you, and you're just nothing right, to be. Right. You're nothing to be but to be a tax mule for us. And by the way, it's no different today than it was then. The same kind of it's the same thing. We're still dealing with the same kind of challenge today, wouldn't you say?
We're dealing with the mindset on our side, Bill, which is, I got to do what I'm told to do, right? I mean, I can't resist the dominant of authority.
Well, yeah, I have to follow the law. The law says this, or the rules say that.
All the birds are facing west this day. We have to face west because the birds are facing. We'll just change over to the east.
Okay. Thank you for the reminder. It's welcome, okay? You be well.
The Declaration of Independence was a thought crime.
8:57. Thank you, Gino. Great way to wrap up Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
5, I'm double 5, 10, 15, 15, get up at 20, 20.
This is Casey with Southern Oregon Auto Auction inviting you to our public auto auction where we have cars, trucks, trailers, RVs, boats, heavy equipment, and so much more. Don't miss out on your chance to bid like a dealer and buy like a dealer. Join us live in the lane or online this Saturday at 10 a.m. Go to www.soautoauction.com for more details. That's www.soautoauction.com.
Coming June 22nd to the Jackson County Fairgrounds, Western Justice founder Dave Duquette, author of More Guns, Less Crime, John Lott, Gateway Pundit founder Joe Hoft, and your host Mike Lindell, and more. It's MAGA Next Level. It's MOGA. Make Oregon Great Again. Tickets and information at jcor.gop/MOGA. That's jcor.gop/MOGA. June 22nd for the Patriot event of the summer. We'll see you at MOGA.
At Pressure Point Roofing, our dedicated team of repair and maintenance professionals work on hundreds of roofs a year. We can see where problems can start on your home or commercial property. We have the years of experience and commitment to quality that you need to protect your home or business. Having an annual inspection can prevent you from suffering through the damage, stress, and cost.